Every once in a while, I want to just come and talk with you. And today is one of those days. Because what I want to talk to you about, our readings set the setting and give the background so well, both of the problem and the solution, that I want to just talk to you about it. Let's think of our gospel story. It's supposed to be taking place on Easter Sunday. And instead of joy over the resurrection, we hear of confusion and fear. We don't really know what these two disciples were thinking about. We just know when Jesus came up to them and talked to them, their eyes were downcast. So we know that they were feeling bad. And we also know one other thing. They were going the wrong way. They were going away from Jerusalem, not towards it. Imagine what they were feeling. Here's disciples of Jesus. They'd have donated 3 years of their lives. 3 years of their lives. And have presented and heard words and saw miracles happen. And they saw things happen in their lives that would change them. And they said, this has to be the one. This has to be the Messiah. Some of them were followers of John the Baptist, and what happened to him? They witnessed that their following of him, he got beheaded. And so they said, oh, this must be it. Jesus must be the one. And then within less than a week from his triumphal entrance into Jerusalem, he's killed and crucified in the most horrific way. These people, these disciples must have said, what happened that we backed such a loser? I thought this was going to be the Messiah. I thought this was going to be it. Then enter Jesus. He doesn't come down like a bolt of lightning like he did for St. Paul. He just walks up to them. He accompanies them. He walks with them. He said, what are you guys talking about? And during their conversation, Jesus explains to them why it had to happen that way. And their hearts were burning within them as he talked. And then what happens is Jesus wants to go on. They say, no, eat with us. Break bread with us. And on the breaking of the bread, Jesus disappears. Theologians have wondered forever, why does Jesus disappear? It's because now he's in the Eucharist for us. In our first reading, we hear Peter talking to, we think, somewhere around 3,000 to 5,000 people. And he said, hi, everyone. You murdered Jesus. How would you like to do that today? Who would want to go before 3,000 people and say, hey, you guys are murderers? And he said, but it's not your fault. You didn't know. But you murdered not just a person, you murdered the Messiah. But now let me tell you, he's risen from the dead. And if you believe in him, you will be saved. Peter lays out the foundations, the just very foundations of our faith. That God sent his only son down. He performed wonderful deeds and gave us messages of how we are to live our lives. He was then crucified for it, and he rose from the dead. If we truly believe that, we have to follow him. We have to. He has to be the most important thing in our lives. And you might say to me, well, Father Dennis, he is. I've heard that story. I believe it. Really? Then how come for many of us, our adult children don't go to church? And I didn't say yours, I said ours. I have three daughters. As you know, two of them are Muslim and the other one is Christian, but she doesn't go to church. It's cute when I talk about my Muslim daughters because they're good girls. They're very good. They married great men. But don't you think my heart aches that I don't see them here in church? How come the largest growing faction of young people is nuns N-O-N-E-S, that don't not just go to church, they don't even believe in God. The setting for our story 2,000 years ago is what our world is today. We no longer live in a Christian world. And that's why I don't blame myself and parents that have those circumstances either. Because when my kids were growing up, you know what? I thought the culture was going to support that, my beliefs in Christian things. I thought, you know what? They'll go to public school and they'll be okay. They'll teach them about right and wrong and they'll talk about God. Uh-uh. I thought, as my girls were growing up, that we still lived in a Christian world. I didn't realize we didn't. And now the loss of that, the realization of that, has accelerated so quickly, even in the last 6 months, that we no longer can ignore that we don't live, that we live in a pagan world. The same world that Peter was talking to, that Jesus was walking with. That's the world we live in today. We no longer can expect our culture out there to support our values in here. So what are we to do? After Peter presented all that information to the 3,000, they didn't stone them. They cut them to the heart. And it said, what are we to do? We need to offer a counterculture. It's not good enough to fight on issues anymore. We have to be someone else. We have to offer a different way. And in fact, as I thought about it, that's what I want to call it. In early Christianity, when Christianity was just starting in the pagan world, they called it the way. And that's what I want our new culture to be called, the way. We at St. Dominic's are going to develop a culture that we call the way. It will be a counterculture to what's going on out there. And what do we have? We have the truth. In a world that's like the truth has been inverted. And don't you think that I know that you guys are all afraid? I'm afraid. How many of us today would really feel that when something gets said to us and we know it's against our Catholic values, we don't say anything because we're afraid. We're going to be beat down. We're going to be demonized. We're going to be told that we're some kind of phobic person about something. We're going to be challenged. So I understand. Now, I wrote a few other little notes here on some collection envelopes last night. I still left a few for you guys if you want to give. I wrote down a few things, a few points about this. You might say, Father Dennis, this sounds very political, like you're taking a political stance. I am not. What I want you to realize is that when Christianity was lost in this world, there has to be another religion, and politics is it. Politics is the new religion of the culture, which means it has its ministers, the politicians. It has its new language, as you know. It has its order that you have to follow. And it has its symbols of its religion as well. What I'm saying is we can't play in that sandbox. We can't fix our culture through politics because it's the wrong religion. We can't fix it that way. So every time you sort of engage people within the political spectrum, you're playing in their religious groundwork. And what I'm telling you is that's not going to work anymore because their fundamental belief is not in God. It's not in the truth. It's not like you can discuss one truth versus what I think the truth is. It's they don't want the truth. So another thing, why is it cultural? Because faith is our way of life, and the culture doesn't understand that. They've delegated faith to an add-on. That's a fundamental problem even with my own girls. They admire that I'm a priest, but that's kind of like dad's thing. It's not my thing. It's my life. And I feel bad because I didn't understand that when my girls were growing up. I didn't make God and Jesus the most important thing in my life. I thought, well, the church will do it. I'll send them the formation class. I'll even be a catechist. That'll work. But when things happened in our lives, I didn't say, kids, let's pray about this. I didn't say, you know, let's sit down and offer this to God. They didn't see how Jesus was in my life. I had him all by myself. We no longer can do that. Why now, Father Dennis? Why now? It's been going on. Why now? Because it's been accelerating so fast. I don't know if you have, but in the last 6 months, it's like everything I hear is like anti-Christian. Everything. And we see the damage and the wreckage that's happening right now. And the battleground is going to be our children. And our children, when they grow up and they see what a wreckage this culture has made, they're going to ask us, where were you when this was going on? Where was the Catholic Church when this was going on? Where was your parish when this was going on? Where were you when this was going on? One of the things that we have done here at St. Dominic for the last 18 months is developed a program or really addressed this, because I know we need to develop a new culture here as a counterculture to what's out there. So at this time, I'd like to invite Don Dries, who's our chairman of the Missionary Discipleship Program, and Jill Fisher, who's the director of our formation, to just talk to you a few minutes about what we're going to do about it. Because as soon as you present this, you say, well, what are we supposed to do about it?